That's right. Cut them things off. Interrupting the current neo-Euronial climate change behaviorally controlled energy starved postulated cricketism. Anyone of you fit that? Well, there's a altogether group there, the big basket of put everybody else in if you're not, until you crawl out. Stopping that cricketism here. Obviously, the postulated crickets are only a small sector of the society, and you have to see how they're doing this. We said endless disease. It's a disease of destruction. It's inside these psychopaths. So come each week behind the woodshed to interrupt this cricketism, which is us. And to do that, you got to get behind the woodshed. You have to bring it to the miscreants. So interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism, this cricketude-busting episode is BTW RLM 486. How long we've been talking about this? Once a week, coming with the most jam-packed minute in radio for 2 hours, if you could hang in there, behind the woodshed, where you could break free if you just apply what I'm saying. And that seems to be a little bit of a problem. Everyone thinks they know how to apply it, and the more people I get involved with more deeply in what we're facing as a people, it's a lot more complicated. There's a lot more depth. As I was talking to my friend, I said, this is like a chess game. And you have to move 4, 5, 6 moves ahead. You have to be way ahead. And you have to set up everything as you get there. For well before. And you essentially predict the future by your actions. And you leave in the fluidity. You allow for the fluidity so you can respond to how a criminal, literally, you just put they're a criminal. So you respond to how a criminal would evade you. But you have to bring the objective basis, the black and white I keep telling you about. Find the real authorities. Not as you interpret it, but the ones that, as it's interpreted by the system itself. They still will misinterpret it, but that's how you start to catch up the record to show that's all that you're facing. And then now you have the basis for you, nobody else, to say, well, there's no more confidence, there's no trust, there's no reliability, there's no objective basis, there's nothing, there's no rule, there's no law, and therefore there's no govern. And when you took away all the remedy, you took away the power of the law. Because they're intrinsically tied. And if you don't think that's the way it works, go look at a constitution that says, particularly most of the constitutions for the states of the United States, they say that a man has a remedy for harm done him. Maybe even use the word aggrieved. So what we then walk into, though, is we work into a more, even more virtual than these concepts of how people will be free, how they will establish a society and their constitutions, and people that take an oath to uphold that will work supposedly faithfully executing all that. Well, if we haven't seen that fall apart, and then my astonishment that we don't respond, but we get even more virtual, if you will. And I dislike this word, but it seems to be what they've attached to this internet, the internet battlefield of things where the world is moving. And we're going to get to some of this. Some of these tabs, I'm just going to give you, and if you're interested, I'm just going to show you the general trend. I'm going to name some tabs, and we're going to keep moving, because I got tons to go talk to, and I need to get to it right now. But for those of you who think that the world coming in your phone and all this great, fantastic stuff is going to make your life better, and you still hold on to that, and even if you don't, you're susceptible to certain things as you continue to move along with it without saying and continue to engage it. This is, I guess, another public service announcement behind the woodshed, like most of the tabs are, actually. Over 3,200 apps leaked Twitter API keys, some allowing account hijacks. So here's your digital world, and here's a major social media, I call it legacy media now. Twitter, who has within their code, something you don't understand if you don't understand or recode, vulnerabilities to your life that extend into further and other things into your life as we move more into this digital age. Cybersecurity researchers have uncovered a set of 3,207 mobile apps that are exposing Twitter API keys to the public, potentially enabling a threat actor to take over users' Twitter accounts that are associated with the app. The discovery belongs to the cybersecurity firm CloudSEK, which scrutinized large app sets for potential data leaks and found that 3207 leaking valid keys. The point here is I'm not going to go on and talk. Anybody that's using these phones and these API keys, your life is hackable. You say, well, I don't care about my account. Well, maybe you don't. This is not about me telling you you got a vulnerability at Twitter. Twitter tanic. Well, I called it the Twitter tanic. I don't even have half the functionality. I don't know what functionality. They've cut me off by so much. I've had to actually hack how I get to be able to use Twitter. For those of you that don't know why I don't use it too much. But anyway, it's not about Twitter. It's about your vulnerabilities within this new virtual battlefield of things world. And it extends beyond what we're seeing. This is just another notice to us. We can disregard it, or we can understand we're sitting vulnerable to everything that we don't know about. And so another PSA, moving on now. You're going to find, I mean, the links I get from people about the vulnerabilities of this digital world is, I don't give you even a 1% of all the ways the digital world's being destroyed and hacked. And I don't know how more people are not involved, actually, in how this all works. So congratulations to y'all if you've avoided all that. But this is a notice to us that the world they want to shove you through and into, through that little phone or whatever it's going to be pretty soon, maybe not even needing the phone, is completely hackable. And then you say, well, I don't care. Well, when you start having to get on and the government expects something and you can't provide it, or the other side, they say you didn't do it, so you don't deserve, you're not entitled. You got different rights than everybody else. You're second and third class citizen. Then that's going to start coming home to roost, and by then it'll likely be too late. But here's another PSA for those of us that may have considered. Man sets forest ablaze after trying to light a spider on fire. Wyoming officials caution against that. The spokesman of the Medicine Bow National Forest is warning visitors to avoid lighting spiders on fire, at least outside of the fire ring. Now, you can do it inside the fire ring, folks, or else they could cause a wildfire like a Utah man did this week. Folks, don't light spiders on fire. Maybe anywhere. How's that? Pretty cool. The PSA to those behind the woodshed who are just about as mischievous as you can get, likely might be, just to see what might happen. Yeah, I guess that. Can you imagine that spider looked like running into the forest on fire? Poor spider. Something more, the heat might be driving here, and a little warning now as we go through, because a lot of this story, I'm telling you, not really about the story, it's about how we're going to pierce through the deception, how not to be led by the nose, how to start becoming more critically thinking. Europe's river runs dry, as scientists warn, drought could be worse in 500 years. In places like Loire, L-O-I-R-E, if I really screwed that up, a canal be crossed by foot, France's longest river, has never flowed so slowly. The Rhine is becoming impassable to barge traffic. In Italy, the Po is 2 meters lower than normal, crippling crops. Serbia is dredging the Danube. So the top story I wanted to point out for us. It says, worst in 500 years. Folks, I've asked you to do this. When you find a claim about the environment, go look back in history, go research down to see if they've ever found another time when it was the same thing. In this case, it's 500 years ago. There was a time that it was close to this, if not identical. In other words, this is cyclical within the Earth's normal climate and weather patterns. This is not climate change. And this is what I want to really drive this home. These scientists, so-called, whatever, maybe these are the scientists. If they look back in the records, however they figured it out. I'm not even qualifying their record, tree rings and all that stuff. It's all out there to be looking around. But they're saying this happened 500 years ago. So this is not unusual. And you have to understand that. There's also a deception in this. The picture that was provided, if I understand this right, with this story, was also of a, and you could almost tell this if you know anything about rivers, it was a dry section of a river, but if you look a little farther in distance, there was a full river. So this was a section of that river that went dry. It was a little bit higher than the main channel. And there was a deception that we show you a dry riverbed, and we can cross that, when in fact it wasn't the complete river. So be careful on what we use for, as I understand this way this worked out, be careful on what we use to prove ourselves or pass information on, qualify stuff. So 500 years ago, this happened again. This is pretty, I told you, we're looking at about an 800, well, now it's 500 to 1,000 year cycle thing that's going on for different aspects of the weather, which I think is really kind of neat. But it's not climate change. It's not the cause, the stalking horse. Can it be used? If you understand this, then you know it can't be used as a stalking horse to get you to believe that the climate change is promoted by the psychopaths is real. Again, the climate change that under capital C, capital C, is a political movement. So, again, our thoughts have to be able to parse this really quickly. And it's the only reason why I bring some of this stuff up. I don't see people doing that. And part of that is being able to, if you parse through it quickly, you also are having a mind that can move through and set up the parameters to frame the problem correctly. And then you flip the burden on somebody by saying, well, this, and this is the case. What you're saying is essentially fraudulent. And they have to clear that up. That's their burden now. And if you know anything about equity, you'll find that out real quick. So a lot of people, I'm talking about stuff. I'm trying to get you to qualify things that I know are principles that you can go to on an objective basis. In this case, any book, a good quality book on equity, usually the old ones, that will explain what the guidelines are for things that are not monetarily based, but are based in, like someone takes a title for making a decision. Well, they have to support that. If they come under the authority of the title that they take and they say something wrong and they diminish you, that's a crime. If you look, where do I say that? I keep repeating all this stuff. You go look in your state laws. Look under extortion. Look under coercion. Look under conversion of your property. And then your coercion is the appurtenant rights to the extortion, which is attached to property. So we have these rivers that are drying up over 500 years. This is an interesting cycle we're in. I'm more fascinated by this nature. This is much more interesting. So here's the point. Nature is powerful. Nature will run your life, and nature comes in at the best possible time, right? We're supposed to be suffering all this food problem. And here comes nature to not only go after food, it's going to go after our transportation system, showing you the short-mindedness of people, not expecting that 500 years would happen on their watch, and now it is. And now we're finding societies can go down or be hobbled quite a bit. One thing that's not going to be more hobbled in the UK, going moving to Europe, staying in Europe because we're not in the EU, remember, that's a different veneer. UK police, and we're going to move back into a few tabs I missed. I left some players on the field last week. We're going to try and not do that again, although I got gobs more tabs to go through. UK police told to stop wasting time over people being offended by tweets. They had to be told this, folks, and this should terrify you. In the UK, Chief Constable of Greater Manchester, Stephen Watson, said that the police have been prioritizing the record of trivial spats online at the expense of handling real crime. And so some of you folks that are out there that have the time to go look at this is the kind of thing you're going to be doing. You're going to be documenting how they spend their money, their time and money, the treasury time, on these online spats instead of real crime. This will actually get you over to, well, if you're in a traffic situation, that's not real crime. And yet they're wasting taxpayer money, and then that shows how it's a revenue enhancement. How is that? Go look at your motor vehicle code. It's transportation. Transportation is regulated by commerce. That's Title 49 on the federal side, and commerce is expressly given the unique power to regulate that. Your states don't have a local jurisdiction for traffic. And so that's all just revenue enhancement, administrative revenue enhancement that they've under the color of a crime. Anyway, getting back into this, the UK police had to be told to stop wasting time, to not focus on tweets. This is like the cancel culture gone on steroids. The reality is coming home to roost, and this is where I say we have, those of us that have been resistant to the point of this ridiculous, to stop the ridiculousness or not accept it, we really have a power now to step forward and say, and become that new future, to like be the Luddite, to bring back the objective basis so that we don't get people that have the ability to kill you to go off on stupid and trivial things. And what's real crime? Well, that's a whole due process point. So when I bring these tabs up, I'm not bringing up the story. I'm bringing up, if you look inside, even the title in the first paragraph, we have a whole world of requirement, due process, that's failed, where a police officer has to be told to not document two people bickering in a Twitter, in a social media. As we move on and we see a fulfillment of this, Hampshire, UK police, and re-education classes as a punishment for tweets. If you thought China had a problem, folks, it was right underneath your nose over there in the UK. The police in the UK continue to struggle with redefining their role in society, specifically as to whether or not it includes figuratively, but also at times literally, police online free speech. They have to be told this. They're re-educating free speech, folks. China has a leg up on anybody. No, the UK is one of the worst when you look at history, what they do to people and countries. But you in UK, you really have to look and focus in on where you're, again, the protests don't work. You have to get in inside the objective basis of what's supposed to be happening. Right now, the upper echelons of the police are having to be work with their police officers to tell them. They're not smart enough to figure it. They're not intelligent enough to figure it on their own. They have to be told. Well, I told you policy, writing policy is going to be important as we move forward. When the cancel culture starts to get a foothold, you have to eliminate that. Bring it back to that black and white. Not your opinion. All the due process is already written down. That's why I say rely on it, but identify if it's a newer law. The newer laws have that reflexive inclusion you cannot use, and that's why then I moved back when I saw that years ago. I moved back when I saw savings clauses. They're like, the savings clauses are like a four-word phrase with a comma after it. It's like, unless otherwise prohibited or subject to vested rights. There, that's your hole. That's the what you crawl back out of the pit of hell they put you in. That crawls you back out, and you stand antecedent to the imposition of that law through that savings clause. What I call the savings clause. It's not, I don't call it. That's what it's called, but I don't remember the sources I found years and years ago. So you're in UK. You're in a re-education system for speech, and the reality is coming to change that. A reality is coming to you can hold back again the thing we've been talking about behind the woodshed. You're holding back even the fiat currency for something tangible in your hand. We're finding it's starting to work. Anything but a cashless society. Physical money makes comeback as UK households battle inflation. The World Economic Forum, WEF, has been pushing hard for a cashless society in the post-pandemic world. Though physical money has made a comeback in at least one European country as the consumers increasingly use notes and coins to help them balance budgets, household budgets amid an inflationary storm. There's so much to read in this first paragraph. Household budgets. See, they have you on a government schedule like the CAFR, C-A-F-R. You have like a budget for your tax home. And this is how, and your tax, if you look at how the government does it, that budget's only a very, like a line item for all everything else you have to do. What they're telegraphing here is that you actually need to set your life up as a corporation. I hesitate to tell you to do that because there's a whole lot of study behind corporations and which one's proper. In fact, I think what's coming down is a little bit of a trap. I haven't analyzed it fully. I just want to get this out. The new private management associations or something like that. Be careful of whether, I understand now, I'm looking around a little bit. They all require that you set up a corporation. I think I've seen a lot of them want to do S corporations. You better research that a lot more careful. You don't want to be entering into a corporation or setting yourself up to look like a corporation that's a taxable entity. If I get to the tabs, you're going to see why here. You're going to see what I've been talking about. I hope you see what I'm going to talk about. When I told you, when they start to outlaw stuff and then they give, you will, the tax man the power to come in and raid your place, this becomes a very different world. But cash is king in a way here, folks. Even in the UK, people are having to resort to it because the financial structure, the financial system is not really for them and it's made to work against them. So we see right here, I wanted to point out the World Economic Forum, they're not the only entity pulling this off. So let's be careful not to focus solely on that as I move on. I also wanted to say here on the way use of the cash. Cash is king in a way because you get to, it's a tangible connection to somebody. And so it's a speech on its own. And don't underestimate the power of putting that together when they come against us to steal this from us. This is my way to speak to people. This is how I consent with people, how I make contract with people. That's communication. And on the commerce side, in your antecedent power to do so. Cash is king, it occurs to me, my condolences to the iconoclast badass Bednarik, who died here just a few days ago. Mr. Bednarik was a libertarian who gave a lot of information. I've done a couple of interviews with him on the United We Strike marathons. It just occurred to me I had forgotten to mention that earlier. Michael Bednarik has died in the world. He allowed people, he broke people's worlds, their thought processes down a bit and allowed them to think more freely. I think he wrote a book, It's Great to Be King or something like that. Look up his work, but he's no longer with it. So there's going to be the falling out of the people. That's kind of, he's of the time when I came through And we were studying all this stuff to try to figure it out. And so we've lost another example. I'm hoping someone picks up his baton and becomes the iconoclast that he believed he was, just to be that example. But moving over to here, we have the power to say no, to not consent to this digital world. We don't have to get the phones. I told you, I was explaining Obama phones was the clue that they would hand you one. So it's going to take a little bit more than saying no. You're going to have to be able to just be all thumbs with it, literally. I can't even function here with it. And then you take away, you have to have your other side, because these people won't give up. No, you're taking away my right to contract with people. You're taking my ability to deal with intangibles. You're making my life intangible and subject to hacking. And then your policies and your say and what you think. And it's not my decision anymore. You're going to have a list of things to back up. We shouldn't have to, but I agree with you, but that's not the reality of what happens when you're having an oppressor face you, or an attacker, or a trespasser. You're not going to just walk away from that. And you're looking at someone like physically, you're watching that people are getting attacked out there. You're just walking along the street and you just get attacked. What are you going to do? You're just going to turn your back on that? No, you're going to have to figure stuff out. Put that in your mind, how you do that. These are using cash. It directly counters the cashless society, asserting that you have the right to use cash. Even if it's not specie, if it's not that gold and silver coin, at least it's you can backstop yourself. That you don't have to go willingly into this, and you have a system, and people are naturally moving to cash. And so here we see that the reality against what the agenda wants to put, it doesn't fit. It's not going to go quietly into the night. It's that where your silence is your consent. It will be going silently into the night in your silence. Appeals court says, again, we're back to money. You're speaking with this money. Appeals court says student's Nazi Snapchat joke is protected by the First Amendment. So I'm bringing up here these new notices to it. The courts are sitting there to, whether I agree with them completely all the time. In this case, yeah, why not? This is a speech thing. We're supposed to have free speech, and at some point, as long as it doesn't match the things that speech is not, like you don't yell somewhat, this is even a fabrication, but you don't yell fire in a theater because it causes people to respond in an adverse ways that can cause them harm. That's the breakover point. Not because they just feel bad. It has to do, there's an actual overt condition, or your speech advocates a violence. You shouldn't do that. But these are minimal impositions. But an appeals court says a student's Nazi Snapchat joke is protected by First Amendment speech. My thought was, well, they do it. The United States government's protecting Nazism in Ukraine. Why not? I mean, why is this even a question? But it's a question for you, not a question for those that wield the usurpation and occupation of your life. In September 2019, the high school student identified a court in tort documents as CG, was out shopping with some friends in a thrift store. They came across a World War II military hat, and CG posted a photo of himself with his friends wearing hats and wigs. In a Snapchat story, he posted the photo. The caption says, quote, "Me and the boys about to exterminate some Jews." CG deleted the post after a few hours and posted another saying, quote, "I'm sorry for that picture. It was meant to be a joke." However, another Snapchat user took a screenshot and the original post and reported CG to the Cherry Creek High School in Denver, Colorado. Remember, Denver is the Western White House. School suspended CG as it conducted an investigation and later expelled him for a year. The CG sued the school district and several of its officials for violating his First Amendment rights. In his lawsuit, CG noted that the sheriff's office investigated the post and concluded that the caption was intended as a joke and did not take further action against him because it was not a threat to anybody. So now you see the sheriff, where the UK cop police have to be told to stand down on invalid, trivial things. No, this sheriff comes up and you start to understand the power of the sheriff to do things, looks at it, says it's a joke, and here's the point. It wasn't a threat to somebody. You're not supposed to threaten somebody with your speech. And so, let's stop there. You can read more. Your speech has a protection. And your speech has a protection, and it's where you're going to attach that speech, I'm pointing out. And it could be with how you use cash, that you use cash, that you integrate with people to do so. That as long as you don't, and you have to then go find the list of things that are offensive to the free speech that you shouldn't do, keep that a list of that and to make sure you don't qualify yourself to be a question. And then you can come back and say, listen, demonstrate where I violated these provisions that are already black and white recognized in precedent to be the things you can't do. Identify, demonstrate how I have done it here. That's the letter response that you would give to someone who controls you. In this case, it took a third-party sheriff to do that very same thing for these folks. Moving on. Anyway, so you hear the case went on to appeals, okay? So this is not the, once you get wrapped up, this is how they wrap you up, was having to go inside the court system. And most people are not capable of that on their own. They're going to have to usually spend an attorney. And I'm not saying that to say that I am. I know lots of things to go into a court case, but it doesn't mean that you win when you're dealing up against a bar association that's a usurper and occupier. How do I know that? They've agreed to it in 2013, a default judgment. How did I know that before to sue that? Because in 1953, the Bar Association put the Model Business Corporation Act in as law, as it says so, as law inside, substituted the permanent laws of the people in 1953 and about, expressly in about 26 states in the United States. Does anybody know this stuff? No, we've been an occupied public-private partnership for many decades now, if you think this is a new thing. So your speech should be protected, but it doesn't stop people from coming after you. And for those of you that play games, again, don't think because I don't do this, this is not something that affects me. These are the notices up front now that this stuff is coming along, that people are getting licensed, like 3,000 people to write hacks for APIs for Twitter to go after your accounts, take them over, and who knows, the other software from last where we talked about, it's like a cancer. Once you get one account, you keep going through all the other accounts. See, this is why it gets insidious. And then it gets into your computer, and then it gets into what you're doing online, and I understand the digital world is pretty convenient, but that's the vulnerability of it as well. It's also, you can get attacked. And more so if people are looking over your shoulder and you don't know it, or you consent because you participate in their games. Riot Games plans to record your Valorant chats soon. And this is why I don't already use these chats most of the time. I don't use Discord. It's not like I don't think they're cool and they could be used, or Telegram. I just read the privacy statements. There's big giant holes in how they're going to do this against us. It's already happening. This is just the news that comes out. Valorant chats. I don't even know what that is, but they're going to monitor it. What are they going to do? They're monitoring for what? This is the most important part. To curb toxic behavior. Who are they? But you agree. So this is your consent with going with their product. But curb toxic behavior is the future. These WEF types, it's not just that. These people are the Johnny come latelys, and I don't insult Johnny here. I don't intend to insult Johnny. The Johnny come latelys. What the behavioral controls are that they're working on are already in your state statutes or codes or your provinces or whatever. They're already there. They've been there since they attacked property rights in the 70s by coding and tax impositions, and then they went after your rights within went to the counties in the local jurisdiction in the 80s. More and more, and it keeps going on. But this is to curb toxic behavior. Where'd they get this idea? Your world has become this toxic Hades. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And it's not really. It's been fabricated. As I said, once they identify something, they can control it. It's like that's how the ring gets put in someone's nose or a group of people's nose. But, you know, I look behind the woodshed. I'm a behavioral issue to these folks. I mean, I don't care what we do. You all maybe should become behavioral issues. If and when you know how that no one had a right to identify that in you. In other words, like, how did they identify, again, the officials failed to individually identify anybody being an infectious principal. And I told you, attack that immediately. Attack it. Prove that they failed against you. Again, every one of us has to do this. This is not group action. You will have mutual action, which you all can focus together once you have your proof. But I each have to run against this because the law is coming against each one of you if you knew that and you actually used it against these officials. Because they want to control your behavior. If you didn't think the lockdowns was all about that. Curb toxic behavior. Toxic. Wow, your whole world becomes toxic. They make everything toxic. Carbon's toxic. Nitrogen's toxic. Oxygen's going to probably become toxic. You already are toxic. And if you want to know more about that and whether or not you exist in a toxic environment, rainwater is no longer safe to drink anywhere on Earth, scientists say. They've got this thing. Better living through chemistry was better living for the corporations by chemistry. And look what they've done with chemistry in most recent couple of years ago now. These novelly inoculated, patented chemical weapons. The remedies of which are more chemical weapons. But rainwater, no longer safe to drink anywhere. Well, we better start paying attention to that. And I'm not quite sure how right this is, but these chemicals that were supposed to be not persistent that are, and these PFAs are a problem. They really are a problem. We really have to focus on it. But here it is. Your world's so toxic. See, the more toxic it gets, the more power they have over you because they have to control it. The beer rat has to control how to make it less toxic. It's a setup for the takedown the entire time. And thank you, Damn Meter, RLM chat with badneric.org. https://badneric.org. Thank you for that. And look back through his work. Again, I appreciated I didn't necessarily go down his trail, but he did open up the idea of what libertarianism is and how to take on a mindset. Wait a minute, there's no one that really controls me. That doesn't mean it gives you license to go do crime, though. We have to agree with that. There is that amongst us. But anyway, getting back over to here, there's no place safe on Earth. And the chemistry that they've caused allows the bureaucrats to say everything is a problem. And they get more regulation power. So that, seriously, rainwater is no longer safe. I think you need to look at this. Maybe it's time to figure out how you make your own filters if that's the case. Because this world has been allowed, and in where commerce is the United States' main job, is to promote commerce, and they allow commerce, and they took away the objective of stopping a corporation when it didn't serve the public interest. Not all chemical patents are good. And they allowed this thing to go on and promoted the toxifying of your environment. They then turned around and those same corporations became green and said, we're going to green the place up because of this so-called pollution that they created. And the only way to keep track of this number of things is like IBM set up for what we're told it happened in Germany. I'm afraid to use all the words, but I don't think it was the story that we're told. But at any rate, they had to keep track of people. So IBM made accountings, gave a number to everything. The world today is that on steroids, with your phones, with your digital requirements, which the government says you can't get a benefit without it. Well, you better learn how to attack that if that was a benefit they were supposed to do and not put between you and them. I can't. Now what? I'm too dumb. I can't trust it. I'm afraid. Stop fearing me. But rainwater is no longer safe to drink all over the world? How fast, folks, that they've taken us down this way. And these PFAs are not really cool at all. I mean, there are, I've said, I guess for me, I want to go back and say, okay, start looking around. It appears that maybe mushroom mycelia, certain mushrooms can start to degrade this, but it takes a little bit of time. Your time schedule, your life time schedule has to shift. I would say maybe move to the moon time. Because it takes time for nature to solve these problems, and it could be a long time. And then it may be surprisingly quick. But nature is the force that can destroy, is also a force to purify, if you will. Okay, so rainwater is no longer safe to drink. Fascinating. I'm just stunned. And so then I remembered this article. I want to go back to this, and this might not have been a good idea. You know all those thousands of cattle that died in the Kansas. They called it the heat wave, and I said, well, there's as plausible a connection to as lightning strikes. Okay, now none of that's all kind of fallen away, and maybe it should have, but what they did with those cattle, talk about the rainwater, what about the groundwater? Thousands of U.S. cattle buried, dumped at Kansas landfill. I was sort of shocked. They did not process that beef in order to process it into products. It really did go to waste. But where did it go? It went into the groundwater. Top U.S. cattle feeding companies sent 1,000-pound carcasses of Kansas landfill where they were flattened by loader machines and mixed with trash after a June heat wave killed thousands of cows, documents say. Now, I know, I understand the modern dumps have these containment facilities in them. The point is what a waste, and what about that? How did they get, you know, we found that the containment systems may not be so quality that this stuff is getting possibly into the groundwater if we were so worried about it. Why didn't we have, again, why do we have such a short-sighted ideas that we wouldn't have the capacity to handle this? But they didn't. What a waste. I don't even know what to say, and I don't want to blame anybody either, because, I mean, what do you do with 10,000 or 3,000 cattle? I mean, come on. However they died. And I'd like, again, just as if I'm a scientist, I want to know why did they die. I don't want to take some expert's view that didn't actually do the analysis. I don't know. Maybe it's out there. Did someone find that they put the carcasses under a study to see out what exactly killed them after I exposed to you? The veterinary manual said that there is a way to see the difference between heat and electrocution or anything else. There's like five different or seven different immediate death things that they have to actually do an autopsy over. Did you ever hear about that? Anyway, they dumped the bodies. They disposed of everything in the ground, just buried it. And I don't know about you, but that landfill's not going to be going back to be used for much of anything. And so, I was disappointed at the waste. I didn't understand they didn't have the capacity to start running those things through at warp speed, folks. Why not? But they didn't. Water contamination. Camp Lejeune, water contamination attorneys. This is a PSA to y'all who are around that, and I don't know too much more about it. The Camp Lejeune military veterans and their families exposed to camp contaminated drinking water between August 1st, 1953, and December 31st, 1987, may qualify for compensation. Just a notice to you, if anybody who was part of this. Now, that was on a military base. I'd want to know whether or not the areas immediately adjacent that base were in the same aquifer, that this case may open that door for you if you were even now. Possibly, although the government may stand on some sort of an immunity, you're going to have to break that down as well. But here was notice. For those of you at Camp Lejeune, get water filters for sure that work. The United States House of Representatives passed the Camp Lejeune Justice Act on March 3rd, 2022. The act was a part of legislation aimed to improve benefits for veterans and their families exposed to toxins. And I'll leave you that here. If you're interested or know someone that should be interested, here's a link. You'll get it in the post. In the blogcaster when I posted up. And again, water contamination. It's an important problem overlooked. And I'm reminded here, August 10th, we're a few days past now, remembering the day of tragedy for the people of Vietnam. If the United States government isn't understood to be someone who uses chemical warfare against all kinds of people. On this day, August 10th, 1961, remember all this is the same time period, folks, the United States began chemical warfare in Vietnam, having sprayed 77 million liters of defoliants over South Vietnam by the end of 1971. Now, this is an updated article. I don't remember us using liters in 1971. Neither here nor there. Of the amount, 44 million liters, divide by 4, contained dioxin, which causes various diseases and genetic mutations in humans and others living beings exposed to it. I'll let you read more. You can go back and research this travesty. A lot of people will talk today that the Vietnam War was an important thing and we did our grand thing to the men that fought over there. I have no quibbles. You did what you thought you needed to do. We see now that the United States government is a thug. It's an organized criminal thug. And then it didn't accomplish its mission actually. And what we did though, we spent lots of money promoting chemistry to defoliate land and cause genetic mutations. The United States government is known to do chemicals to cause mutagenic mutations. Okay, so it's right here, if we just keep looking at what's going on, the history is before us. Do you think they did that here in the last couple of years? My safety concern says you prove I'm wrong. And we can't, because it's a novel chemical thing that they did, patented, that they implemented at warp speed. Yes, Trump was involved in that. And no, he did nothing to stop it. And I told you at the time how he could have... I was going to say it. Maybe I should. He could have easily done it, Vince. could have easily done that by stating what the actual authority was. It wasn't in the federal government to move at warp speed. It was at the local jurisdiction to determine on a case-by-case basis, not the one that they defined, but by a medical report, an infectious principal having an infectious agent they demonstrated non-fraudulently. That's how that was supposed to go down, providing everybody with due process. No, they denied all of that. And again, if you want to see the United States, how it puts this, it's agreeable to put chemistry in toxic, make a toxic world for you while they blame you for it. Blood tests of captured Ukrainian servicemen confirmed that experiments were carried out on them in Ukraine regarding dangerous infections. This was announced today, July 18th, by Konstantin Kosachev, the vice speaker of the Federation Council, co-chairman of the Parliamentary Commission to investigate the activities of the United States Biological Laboratories in Ukraine. Quote, one of the specific examples of the analysis of blood samples from Ukrainian servicemen who were captured, he confirms that for a number of diseases, including the atypical, those atypical for Ukrainians. Now we're talking genetics. Those atypical for Ukrainians, the content of the corresponding substances in the blood is several times, maybe dozens of times higher than the norms and could be explained. This means that the relevant experiments were carried out on Ukrainian military personnel. This means that the research development experiments were carried out on the territory of Ukraine related to extremely dangerous infectious diseases, which could be distributed for offensive purposes. If they'll do it there, folks, they'll do it to you here. And I strongly suggest you consider they did it at warp speed. As we see, the government and the chemistry, they don't care, it seems. Two children die after taking world's most expensive drug. It wasn't the kid that died. I mean, they're killing kids off. It was the most expensive drug. I didn't know there was such a thing. One drug? One chemical agent? The most expensive. The patients developed acute liver failure. The patients were little babies. Acute liver failure, but the manufacturer of Zolgensma insists it's not a new safety signal. That term, safety signal, should put a shiver up your spine, because that's what they did in the recent stickers and the chemical novelly inoculated sticker juice. There was no new safety signals that would cause an alarm. That's the new normal consideration here. The two children died of acute liver failure after being treated with Zolgensma, gene therapy, which is often referred to as the most expensive drug in the world. The medications manufacturer Novartis said on Thursday. Acute liver failure is a known adverse event of the drug, which is used in patients suffering from spinal muscular atrophy, SMA, the Swiss pharmaceutical company said, but these are the first fatal cases caused by the complications. Okay, fine, but they're still utilizing, and this most expensive drug ends up being like $2 million a dose. So gene therapy kills two children, and it costs lots of money. Is agreed to by the governments. And if you look at the standard here, it's the same thing they attacked us with on this thing we've been suffering. It didn't exist. It didn't exist. There is no the virus. It is a chemical weapon instituted at warp speed with known adverse events. What do you think the VARS documentation was? It gives them license to all this. I've been telling you, it gives you them license. It doesn't sound like it's all this is worked upside down. And part of that comes from the idea that you are the problem. And they're actually doing you a benefit. So that benefit ended when people did what? Stop consenting. Well, we see proof of that now. South Africa's, it's SA's, Aspen COVID-19 vaccine plant risks closure after no orders is one story, and then I give you to a tweet. You can read that they were at risk for closing the the sticker juice plant. And then we get a tweet from Bernie's tweets. Africa, the COVID vaccine manufacturing plant has been closed down after getting no orders at all, not a single dose. Africa's been really resistant here. I'll give you the two links. Look at it yourself. Hear it. See it. Understand what's going on. Understand what quelled the fire, the conflagration against Africa, South Africa, was people just not participating. And all that, whatever, I don't even know about the money behind that. Who invested in all that? But there it was. It went down. They're closing because nobody ordered it. So I'm asking you to look, don't just look at the sticker juice. Look around your entire life. How many things could you tell someone, an official so-called, someone that wants to pretend they're an official, come in near the authority of an official, like your employer who has no authority, actually, even though they're your employer on specific subject matter, you tell them no. Don't say, oh, I'll comply by filing for an exemption. Say, no, that's not applicable to me, and that's fraud to apply, and I don't consent. Don't buy. Don't buy in. So evidence that you can stop this right here, and I don't know what to say. No buyers, and they're not seeing a problem either. In fact, I think there's some place, the Uttar Pradesh someplace, and I think India, Pakistan, they went completely into the known medical alternatives, which were condemned, and they quelched this thing completely without sticker juice, without a synthetic approach. Everything in the coming world is going to be synthesized, synthetic. It's going, you're going to be suffering from your continuing consent to the synthetic world. As they are going, these eugenicists, these people in the, who believe that they have the decisions of the future against you to make that more perfect utopia, are going to be synthesizers of the world, the artificial reality world, that they're going to try and make it, normalize it to you, which they really can't. But again, as long as you just keep plugging in and keep turning on that way instead of tuning in behind the woodshed and taking action, they're going to get you. Not you particularly, they're going to get most of the world unless you say no. We see evidence of the lack of consent is the answer. UK, don't use cash, don't use the digital. Insist on it. But we move into, they're going to try to make this world a synthesized world, as we hear genetic scientists create world's first synthetic embryos. Now, we have reported a little bit about this technology coming on, but here it is. I told you it wouldn't take long, but we heard the big kerfuffle over that Chinese scientist who made the two digitally enhanced girls in China there. That slowly popped back out. He didn't really go very far, but they continued it, but behind the scenes. They're actually going to just get rid of all that. I've reported about the technology being here to show up. But now it's showing itself up in the notice to us. Forget eggs, sperm, fertilizer, or sex for procreation. This straight out of Huxley's Brave New World, written in 1932, and looking into the face of technocracy. Pregnancy was forbidden as genetically engineered babies were created in test tubes and birthed in incubators. Forget eggs, sperm, and fertilization. It's not necessary anymore. You wonder how? Well, apparently science, technology. These people that believe they can create life. You're going to find out, interestingly, the first stages aren't really the life that we're thinking of. But it won't matter to someone who doesn't need the spark of life, who can animate, if you will. They can animate the dead, if you've been hearing and listening. Researchers use stem cells from mice to form embryo-like structures with intestinal tract, beginnings of brains, and a beating heart. The researchers have created the world's first synthetic embryos in a groundbreaking feat that bypassed the need for sperm, eggs, and fertilization. Scientists at the Weizmann Institute in Israel found that stem cells from mice could be made to self-assemble into early embryo-like structures with an intestinal tract, beginnings of a brain, and a beating heart. Maybe I'll just stop there. If you want to know more, read about this. Who's involved? What I've been telling you about this pipsqueak in the Middle East, just fascinating how they're the center of all this stuff. And they've promoted themselves as being to be that. Fulfilling, if you will, the promise of technocracy, and the Zionist movement was just before that. If you haven't put that little bit thing potentially together, they are working in a synthetic world. You're not going to be a part of it. You're a danger to that. That's why I say you're going to have to assert yourself to be that ever-present danger that they claim is existential to them. You are the existential threat, but not if you consent, not if you're quiet. Your silence is the consent to allow this synthetic world to actually take a hold. Thank you. Hello, Montreal, in the RLM chat. Good afternoon. Scientists create world's first synthetic embryos. So the world is moving into a synthetic reality and response right under your noses as they do it. Again, the tech, how they're doing this is mind-blowing. It's not that they're doing it in a way to advance what we understand. It's what the use is for. They're totally getting rid of any of the ethical, if you will, or moral complications by framing all this stuff in a certain way. And people eventually succumb to that by not having a say in their mind and a critical thought about, wait a minute, we don't want that to go any further because where that ends up going is nothing we actually need. Stop wasting money on that. Stop wasting time. Let's solve some more fundamental problems. Don't blame everything in the world for its causing a problem under this unsupportable idea that you're defending an inanimate object that actually controls us. We're talking about the earth here. It's going to drive us. We're not driving it. We can pollute it, and that's the main problem, but you can't conflate climate change with pollution. Just deal with the pollution as best you can. And then don't overdo it, like we find out. I told you about the cement-making company being told that they were issuing out mercury, when in fact, the scientists, so-called, never measured the intake air to find out that the mercury was already in the natural air. This is how they get us backing up into a problem. And everybody just wants to be compliant and not says, wait a minute, at some point, you got to do some real science here, not do the made-up, you know, the cook-in-the-books stuff that we see is prevalent. But synthetic reality, synthetic world, it's encroaching into a reality so it can blur these lines. iRobot, new AI-powered party, sets sail for Danish parliament. Again, notice in the news, to me, whether or not this is actually viable, I don't even know. I mean, there's lots of so-called synthetic parties that come and go. This one, though, it's working on algorithms that work out, that try to work out everybody's problems before they set up a policy to advance as a party to make them sound reasonable. A new political party whose policies are derived entirely from artificial intelligence, AI, hopes to win the hearts and minds of Danes in the next election in June 23, 2023. Aptly called the Synthetic Party, the group was founded in May 2021 in Jutland and seeks to specifically reach out to 20% of the Danes who normally opt out of voting. The Synthetic Party's take is that the traditional parties failed to appeal to these voters, and its goal is therefore to reach the milestone of 100% voting participation for the first time in electoral history. Now, that's the ostensible rule to get everybody into voting. They're going to get appealed to buy into voting. For us, the United States, I don't know how you can justify any of this anymore, voting after seeing the fiasco that went on around, and nobody has any justification. But here, the synthetic party steps up to work out how to get the last 20%. I've told you, if the political parties were serious, like let's say the Republican Party in a democratically controlled state, like to what require the loyalty part of this, that the Republican Party en masse 100% vote, and they wouldn't target any campaign information to the Republican Party people. They should just go vote party. What they would do is take all their money and do what? Go after the unaligned. That's what this is doing. All this is the future direct democracy condition under AI being advertised in a European country where it's probably most able to work. Very interesting attack here, but it's all a synthetic world, and it's all built to try and get buy-in. They appeal to your sense, the feel-good stuff that you had in your mind. They figure out what that is, and they make policies and are contrived policies in order to get you to engage. And so this is another form of deception. And we have to keep our eye on it. I think it's going on everywhere. This is the first news someone's going to make a highlight of it. And they're only going after 20%. Well, if they can tie that, if they can appeal to another 40% in one or the other party or any other party, they then have they have the ability to change law, that make law, change people. As I was told you before, an analysis was done and told to me by someone who was more politically wired than me, and he identified if you don't overcome the status quo of the government base of 25 to 30%, and then add the majority on top of that. In other words, you need roughly about 60% of the voters to step out to change a thing, who will work to change something. You will not prevail in what you're after. And I've looked at over years, this gentleman is now dead himself, so I have no way to go back and talk with him even further. But over the years watching, that's exactly how this works out. If the number isn't exact 68%, that was the ballpark figure, close enough. So this is another danger in this. If they can get the 40, 20%, they're doing what I say. You go after the unaligned, then they combine it up with those factors within one political party to get the majority. And so this is a grand deception going on underneath a novel idea. I think it's kind of neat. But we're talking about our very lives here, about the influences that go on to destroy us, and we have all the evidence of that destruction, and that we all capitulated in some way to it by not stopping it today. We have another way, although it agrees to the continuing synthetic world and surveillance, to push back a bit, is that to be knowledgeable. A new open source tool is part of the pushback against invasive CCTV. Industry estimates expected over 1 billion. Can you imagine this number? 1 billion. Closed-circuit television cameras to be installed around the world by the end of 2021. How many since then? Which comes to about one camera per 8 people. But sheer numbers are not the only thing which is growing. So is the quality of resolution of these devices in particular concern. And so what they show here is there's an app. Someone's writing an app that identifies where all these cameras are. And again, likely through your phone, tells you where the proximity to those are relative to you, which means it's tracking you already. And then they tell you that you have the ability to avoid those areas. I found it an interesting use for public information to identify that to keep you apprised. But is that the world that you want to live in? And if they're going to add, it was 1 billion or so by 2021, how many more do they have? How many corners and cracks and crannies and potholes do they have a camera in by now? Okay, a little bit ludicrous, but not necessarily that you're going to be able to avoid it. It was a matter of how to avoid most of the cameras, not all of them. So this is another way that you get acknowledged that there's a knowledge about where the cameras are, but that they're going to be pervasive. And the only thing you're going to get to do, if you allow it to continue, is just choose how many cameras are going to be looking at you. I did see something, I don't think it might have been in Japan. Someone figured out how to do this. They also know, not only did they track where the cameras were, but they showed you, and they have guided tours on how you go around where the cameras are and put yourself in places that the camera can't see, like where you walk low, where you walk to the right, the left, where you walk between things so that the camera can't actually pick you up. And there's guided tours now on how to do this evasion. Fun game, but this is another problem. You understand, you think you can do it. Eventually, there's no space, there's no place. And so instead of spending time to stop it, we've been spending time kind of playing games. I guess enough there. Moving on, how they're encroaching upon us. This data, this information acquisition, I ran across, it's kind of backwards how I came through this. I've mentioned the lady before going into some videos I would ask you to watch. They're quite a long time, view to see this, but I think it was Tamara Yuli. That I've talked about before, who had some information, and I'm going backwards here on how I ran through, but that's where I started, and then some of her videos and her interviews, since when I found one of the videos, is what I'm going to start with a video with Julianne Romanello, excuse me, and the title, How Technocracy and the Great Reset Are Being Implemented at the Local Level. I want to offer this. To this lady, this woman has an insight. She's coming from academia and then had a question. And she did a dive. How she came to really most of everything you need to know in such a short time is really a phenomenal thing. But she was driven by that question. And so you have to have that question. But I'd like to have you listen to her interview, Julianne Romanello, with various people. In this case, the first video would be John Bush, and how she explains this. I found very fascinating that YouTube puts a context window up, and it talks about the Great Reset relative to the title using the Great Reset. The Great Reset Initiative is the name of the economic recovery plan drawn up by the World Economic Forum in response to the Kobe fraud, and that the project was launched in June 2020 with a video featuring Prince Charles of Wales. So that was a really interesting. That's not truly the context of this video. In fact, this is outing all of that. And I did find out this is a recovery plan. Who asked them? Your economic recovery is not from a foreign source, first of all. Secondly, it's not by these folks that buy on and buy into the sustainable development regime and your three-letter designations of destruction. But it's interesting what YouTube's daring to promote, like these people are bringing an economic plan. And I told you through the World Economic Forum that it was actually the IMF that spoke that the stickers would become the economic future. And so I just find it interesting. They want to throw this context out. When if you listen to what they're talking about, this lady, this woman, Julianne Romanello, really has an insight on this. But I will say there's no, what can I say about this? There's a way, the knowledge is one thing. Dealing with it is quite another. And I also want you to hear within these that there's not a substantial response, notwithstanding the knowledge. So I want to point out, you have to know this stuff, but that's not the end of the story. So you're not just listening here to know how someone did the study. You really have to understand that she's done the study. I'm going to say that it's very, very quality. What the subject matter, the topics of importance that she's come up with, how it all ties together. And this is in a nice summary form that would allow you, hopefully you listen now behind the woodshed and you understand what I'm talking more about and where to defeat it and how to defeat it. I've offered another meeting that she was in, Julianne Romanello, that she was in, goes through this information as well, pretty rapid pace. But what I'm going to get to now is an interview Tamara Yuli of Cindy Miles. Now, there are people on the internet that take all of these names I've said and they jump them together and they say these are shills. I'm going to suggest to you, if they're shills, they're telling you something that you would need to listen to and how they pull it together. But I'm not so sure they're shills. I'm thinking the disinformation agent is the ones that don't agree to this. They haven't done any research. They haven't seen that it's already in play. That's the other thing. It's already in play. It's not something that's kind of come. It's already in play and to great depths of application that are completely being missed by people. It's important, though, how to listen for how it's explained what we're up against. And so you don't have to waste, once you hear this, you don't waste time on it anymore. You move right to what I'm talking about, or partly what I'm talking about. But I wanted to point out something that caught my ear. It really, I started listening to this. And I want to do something. This is like a test. And this is, in a way, a test for the guys out there. All you guys out there, listen. This struck me when I heard this. Something started to speak to me. It's silent. It's intangible. And then I realized I knew how Tamara was going to respond. And that triggered something else in me I got to talk to the guys about. Because it's easy to miss the subtleties. And there is a distinction between men and women. And the women are motivated by a totally different thing. And I want you to notice that there's women doing the basic initial study now. And they're doing quality work. And the guys are just kind of absent about some of this. And I don't want to make this a woman-man thing, but there is a thing. It's a natural response. What's more important is when I was coming up through, once a friend of mine explained to me how to deal with the courts and how to go after the government, or how at least challenge the government. It started with a traffic citation. And how to address this. There was his friend and close friend for a long time was a woman who had done the study as well. And the abuse that she went through with the government, because she felt that there should be justice, that she felt that her sons and daughters shouldn't be attacked, that there was law. I mean, this is the same thing we talk about today. She was a bit of an inspiration on the tenacity to do that, but the abuse she suffered, despite the truth that she was saying, was an object lesson for me as well. And I know, that's where I started to notice women handle this condition totally different. It's like a corporation is run by the secretary. And in a way I noticed, not to pigeonhole anything, I'm just trying to give references so you understand, the quality of intent and persistence in a woman relative to certain things that motivate her are intense, and they're hardcore. Now, I want you to notice that in these few videos that I came to and started to listen, and I was able, and this is the test, relative to the video Cindy Niles, contemporary interpreter extraordinaire in the fourth industrial revolution. I don't want to put anybody on pedestals. I want you to understand we're all just people doing, we're driven to understand certain things, and then because we see a problem and it's wrong and it needs to be made right. Without putting up extraordinaire on a pedestal, there is an intangible condition that I'm hoping, and this is the test for the guys, that I hope you come to. Because if you have this response, if you see, you can predict what's coming up in here, I think you're going to have an understanding of what goes on, what we're up against, and where our place as guys might be. And it's not different. It's just a different facet of how this works. Now, I'm likely to get some heat from this, but my experience and insight brings me to say this is the truth. And it's more important than whatever slings and arrows are going to come my way, if they come my way. And I'm hoping all this time and my listenership understands we're talking at a lot higher level. We need to talk amongst ourselves, and it's not judgment we're talking. It's not to pigeonhole anybody, but it's try to get the dialogue going. Where our place, if you will, is in all this. And so just a couple spots here in the video that I want you to see eventually, and we're not going to listen to it. I'm just going to go through the dialogue, go back through this video, go read it, listen to the video, and listen for what I'm saying here. It was extremely interesting to me, the importance of what these two women are having a genuine discussion with. I do not dismiss the genuineness of this discussion, because I could tell coming into this thing, there was a natural response going to happen from tomorrow. Because women handle this different, or they actually don't handle it. And it's not a minimum. That's where the guy's supposed to step in. When people, and most men will do this too, when you're overwhelmed, you don't have a response. You're overwhelmed. So for those of you guys, to me it's, I think the women pick up on this. I think they already know this. I think they're already working in that mindset, so I don't have to speak to the women. But the guys, yes, the men here, those that listen, you need to be brutally honest about what I'm going to point out here and think about what I'm doing. You are going to have to concentrate on the first 15 or 16 minutes, maybe longer, of this video. But this awareness will likely be fleeting. It's a fleeting acknowledgement, if it occurs. Okay, if it occurs. And you got to be honest about this, because this is going to be kind of a test on how you perceive what's going on and what I feel your mindset needs to be in order to get beyond yourself, essentially. So you analyze whether you pick it up, whether you don't, or whether you dismiss the reaction to Tamara, who's on the right side of the screen. Before you get to 15:30, for 15 minutes in, think about what your thoughts are right before you get to about 15 minutes and 30. You're going to have to keep track of this. So be honest about this. I think this is critically important to understand how you anticipate, in a way, you perceive something. And I'm only saying this because I found this powerful to recognize in women, all the women I've ever dealt with that fight this kind of condition, not specific to the whatever we call the reset or whatever, but injustice in general against their families, against the community family as well. Women are settled in that. They need that place, that soft place. I think men just need the peace, but we'll go to war kind of thing, but we aren't. And we need to sense when the woman is, what they're sensing, what they're feeling. And I hope, I'm hoping this test exposes something to you. How did you respond at that point, at the 15:30? Before that, you can't wait till past it, because she responds. Did you anticipate her response? And I'm going to say it's a genuine reaction. Do not dismiss what you're watching between two women that are really trying to work after problems of a threat that they know is existential, but they don't, like all of us, have no real handle on how to respond. I'm hoping that you're perceptive enough to see and anticipate how she responds to the facts, the cold hard facts of another researcher. And what the researcher is actually speaking to is not really the cold hard facts that tomorrow responds to, that's in our society, that's not being responded to, that's the existential threat to people, men and women. If you don't anticipate, my feeling is if you don't anticipate how she responds, you're behind the point. You're behind what the future the psychopaths want, and they've outdistanced us as men. That's not a matter of going to the Second Amendment showing how tough we are. This is about understanding the perception of women, understanding that they are telling us something, and that when they get to the point of what tomorrow's responding, we should have already been moving. We should have kept them from having to do that, that they're feeling that. But don't take it as if you didn't get there, don't be disheartened. Men are kind of inert to this physical type of interaction, this intangible reaction. We're more physical to it. But I'm told, for those of us that are into this, it's not over until you give up. Well, it's also over unless you don't engage. So there are two choices as guys. I looked at this and I said, as a society, the men are not protecting Tamara from feeling what she's feeling. And I've seen that in women around me when we go up against the foe of government, those in government that think that they can run people down, that all of a sudden there is no objective basis. So the woman on the left is Cindy Niles, and I like their intuitive and their intelligent and the courageousness of what they're addressing, the subject matter. And looking at this beast that they're looking at and identifying that threat. And the reaction of the woman on the right, Tamara, is the same for the women that I've experienced that found out there's no justice to protect their families. There's no justice to protect their extended family, your community, as you perceive it. And which is the woman's part to nurture, even so, beyond the house. It goes on and on. This family idea goes on. It's what's being preyed upon. But it's being preyed upon by a foreign power, an invasive force that's foreign to women's nature, that utilizes that nature to exploit it. Women, children, and the indigenous folks is what I'm really talking about here. You see it in what they do, these foreign usurpers do. But these women are realizing there's not really a remedy in sight, despite their protective spirit, which is, I've likened that to the mama bear. And so really, guys, be honest about what you see. If you see nothing, okay. I'm asking you to be a little more observant, be more perceptive. If you predict what she's doing, or you sense it, I sensed it maybe a minute before she got there. I'm telling you, the cutoff point's at 15:30. But if you don't sense what these women are talking about and the existential threat and danger and overwhelmed position that they're taking, you're missing a real important lesson for us, where we should have been a long time ago. What I talk about a lot. I mean, you go on to maybe 30 minutes in, you should be able to hear that the psychopaths don't actually believe in their science that they promote when you're listening to the dialogue, that they base their ostensible utopia on avoiding increasing populations and dwindling consumption. Listen for that. There's a discussion about that. You can see where these psychopaths, again, as I describe them as stalking horses, warm and fuzzy things that you think that they're helping, that they're using to hide the actual they're using as the deception to hide what they're actually doing. They condemn this thing over the avoiding increasing populations and dwindling consumption. When you look at the world, you look at nature, notwithstanding the devastation it can put, but we have men, the minds of men and women together can find a greater bounty that we're promised on, that's available to us if we do it correctly. Not constrain and regulate, but actual, we exploit the dynamism of nature to that bounty everlasting, which does not interest the psychopath that wants to control behavior, thinks that they're in control of you without your consent. So also listen in this dialogue, although we're talking about the virtual existence, listen to how, I think it's Cindy talking about that she's already conforming her activity. Kind of like what I said, I've already kind of been the hermit. I already lived the austere life. You'll hear consistency. Her view of this is that she's already conforming her life to the planned future and by fear that drives this. She's seeing the danger and she's fearful, and so she's already conforming her activity. I did it for a slightly different reason. I said, if I don't use much, they can't take much from me. I get to fight longer. And so I want you to understand as you're listening, and women too, listen to this. Maybe the women don't understand. Maybe you women don't anticipate this perception of what tomorrow's, how she's going to respond. There's a deeper response. I'm not taking looking at her. I'm saying, look inside your own heart about how she's, why her response comes up. Because it's building up as they're talking about it. You're watching the core of what a woman is and dealing and grappling with something that they really shouldn't have to grapple with. What I saw, I mean, it's just heartbreaking to watch the women that I've worked with in the past. They're not with us now. They're dead. It takes a toll, this thing. And I wasn't able to help stop it. We're still fighting. But there's only so many of us that can do this stuff. And that's why I said we just need more. But at 32, listen for the ending. At the ending, a debt-based fiat currency would answer the problem, not the technocracy of the philanthropath, as we are seeing imposed upon us. That a debt-based currency could stop this. And that is back to your consent. Not just the cash that we see the people in the UK accepting. You stop accepting that fiat-based cash. This is a big jump from where we are as a society and people, men and women. However we perceive our world and what we're really anticipating, that intangible, empathetic world that we, again, just want a place for our families to live, or the physical, we're going to protect that for the women in our lives. This is us deciding, where do we want to live? How do we want to live? Do we want these people to offer this to us, or do we control that? And that is the ultimate question. Who's going to control our lives? And the weakness, and it's not a judgment, just that the women don't have an answer, is the question at about 43:37 or so, is it haltable? Is this thing haltable? And the comment, this really gets me down. And I'm telling you, before 15:30, you better anticipate that. I'm talking 43 minutes later now, she admits what I sensed was coming. But because there's a deception out there, they know us better than ourselves. They cause these folks that are out there that believe that they have an utopia to impose. Their whole purpose is to cause isolation and foment division. Is another element of this emotion, another element of this perception, to ask, is it haltable? This really is an existential threat against people, men and women, and their families. So I want to offer to I'm spending a lot of time going through something. I should be moving on quick. There is a ton here that just struck me very deeply. It's reality. I've experienced it all through my life. It's one of the advanced alarms for us. These women are an alarm. They're another alarm. Whatever diminishment people want to say that they are. My question then, when do the firefighters race to extinguish this conflagration, destroying our families, that these women are causing the alarm about. That's the men, typically. Not to diminish the women. The women do great things. I'm just saying that we have our different ways of perceiving the world, and men respond at different things on different consequences. I'm saying that these women are telling us it's way long past we should have been responding. Going on here, at 118, you hear a surrender, and then it's not inevitable. They say that, I think Cindy Miles says that themselves. I think I add here, use it or lose it. Use your rights. Assert your power. Don't consent, or you lose to all of it. And what the future wants, as they summarize this, is imagination work is more valuable than rational thinking. And if you don't, the conciseness of that statement is prescient. I don't know what else to say about that. Again, virtual world, the imagination works is what's being promoted. What you need to settle on is rational thinking. This is what we talk about in oppressing in equity and why they get rid of it, why they will go to reflexive law, they call it. They want to get rid of rational thinking. They want to work on irrationals. And these imagination works that she identifies, that view where they want to move from imagination work, they want to move into imagination work, like meta, and move from and make more valuable imagination work than rational thinking, that statement just destroys equity. It values reflexive law, which is nothing more than a usurpacious overthrow of your due process in law. And it supplants law and reason. And so I say law, that's the black and white. That's why I say we only have what the black and white allows to us at this point, because these folks are in control of that. And more importantly, these folks happen to be also the Bar Association, which their own documents say that they're promoting. They're promoting this reflexive condition, this baseless, propertyless system where you have no rights. You don't have a home to protect as a woman. You don't have a mama bear place to be, and the man doesn't have a place to protect her from that. And I know this is just one example of many ways I could probably example our reality of the actual functioning of what's going on. And I'm not looking at all the bad things. I'm looking at our highest aspirations for ourselves. These women expose that. And these women are showing their thoughts are on their sleeve, if you will. And men have to be perceptive to that, because I think that failure of perception, the condemnation generally of this condition to not have to act is our downfall as males. Again, that's an insect animal. Okay, so we got to be men, and we be a man, and we have to be a woman, and that requires that we do certain things. Pausing here. I'm hoping, I just want people to have a place to think here. There's a lot to consider. If you're just kind of absently listening to the last few 20, 30 minutes here, that's going to be our problem. We have to make more important ourselves and how each of us is responding to this tyranny. That's not about saying I have rights. It's about coming to terms with there is the tyranny. There's quite a few women that are seeing the heart of that, and they're speaking from their heart. And I don't see enough guys kind of stepping up with that and giving that force and effect. Maybe I'm talking some chivalry that doesn't exist, but I'm not so sure. I think we do intend better for ourselves. And those that aren't, they don't. They won't. And they're not going to be surviving. But we're back to the point. Do you succumb to those that don't, or do you respond in more proper ways so that you don't have to succumb? You don't surrender. You just don't let the next guy make the decision. And hopefully, if you're all on point, you're thinking clearly, and you're critically thinking, and you got it all organized, all your thoughts become the better thought. You're mutually working. You don't even have to argue. There's no argument anymore. So they've imposed, again, moving on here to the... Okay, so there's lots of, that goes through my mind, I'm getting kind of tongue-tied a bit. What they talk about is how they're moving this future through. I told you the military martial law was going to be how they did it. I did that in December 1999. I said, here it comes, folks. Operation Hindsight 2020. We move into how they did it how I've been asking you all to respond on the, even upon the question, can it be halted? I've said, yeah, a long time ago, this didn't even have the legs to start running, and look where they've taken it. And I told you after some time, even though we wouldn't respond, if we didn't, I was hoping to be home on hope we would, but I was disappointed that we didn't, and we haven't yet. But we find over time, I told you we find over time the truth of it. We see somebody referencing everything the WHO, the WHO, not the Rock Group, the OWL, or the Little People of Whoville, but the World Health Organization does, everything the World Health Organization does is contrary to the principles of public health. Is, by title, its exact proof. And I know titles are dangerous to work from. I'm telling you, my study says that you can end the story right there. It was planned to do that. I've told you the World Health Organization is a broker for pharma globally. It's a non-governmental thing. It's a public-private partnership. It's one who creates the public-private partnership in health matters. Abar Ballin has compiled a 43-page thesis titled Who Overview and Why It Matters to You that exposes the World Health Organization, the WHO, as a highly corrupt political organization pushing tyranny in the name of public health. In the name of. That's the stalking horse. So I'll leave you to read this. I've got quite a bit more to go as we go on and on and on to show, give you support if you're listening and you want to, and you need more information to bring together to oppose this. Or for those that never heard it about, again, you can listen to these, you can follow the tabs up, read it, listen to what I'm saying. Hopefully you get a better thought on how you're going to apply it for you, and how, what to shed. Again, you shed the nonsense. You don't take it on and become inoculated by the future they want. You shed the toxic existence they want for you, blaming you for it. We have another video here that I want to put you on. A doctor, Tess Lawry, who was an advisor to the WHO, who had second opinions. And I thought the statement that she does with Neil Oliver, this interview, had a lot to say. I won't necessarily embrace, like all these discussions, I'm not embracing the entirety of it or the end result or maybe even the underlying cause, which still sounds a little bit attached to the system. But here's a scientist inside the system who's vilified, who explains a very prescient and very well thought out condition. And she explains a lot of failures that have gone on. And she was shocked because she walked in and said, well, this is to help people, not realizing she's dealing with an organized criminal syndicate of many layered criminal syndicates. The government's being now done in one. Driving the color of the government authority is the other criminal syndicate underlying all this. I need you to see this. Someone who's in there didn't agree. Did we hear much about it? When she comes out, she gets vilified. Listen to her anyway. As we see the truth coming out over time, here's a Twitter link. You can get it. Research it more. I just use the links to get a concise statement that, just to get you to the point, you can go do some more research. It's real simple to do anymore. U.S. CDC appears to have deleted the statement that the spike sticker chemistry technology do not last long in the body. In other words, they aren't going to say and represent that these things, these stickers, the sticker juice action doesn't last long in the body, because it does. And we have to know that. I explained all that condition before. And so you get this. Notice that the CDC is moving the goalposts around like they have. That's one, going to be one of the failures. If you document all these definitional changes, these double statements, these lacks of support over time, you're going to catch them again. Somebody really should do that. But what I saw in this little tweet right above it, it says that the statement that it does not affect or interact with your DANA. And we know that's a trick statement right there, because it doesn't interact directly. It's a messenger. It lets your body create the hybrid. It's not interacting. It's actually making a new hybrid that's never been seen before. And so be very careful even what they're going to leave behind here, as I want us to continue thinking clearly. These little changes are causing more reputable governments to look and say, not entirely so don't think I'm underwriting much of any of this as a complete answer. Where we see these changes going on the CDC, the moving goalposts, the lack of actual lawful definitions, as I've told you, even where they changed, when the CDC changed the definition of a sticker and it didn't prevent, meant that that removed it in the medical toolbox of your local official whose duty is to prevent. And I hope some of you listen to me long enough, recognize that, and know how to put that in a nice little string sentence to put together to show how the fraud of the local official is, where they are offering sticker juice instead of anything else, where the CDC agrees it doesn't prevent. But what am I talking about? I'm just talking about communicable disease law in your local jurisdiction. The CDC now is not going to underwrite that it doesn't affect us, because it's clear the technology does. It's made to do it, but it doesn't do it the way they misdirect us. It does it in slightly different ways. And governments are looking at this, and over time they're starting to see there's a big threat for those of you, the little ones. When you look at Tamara responding to her family and the threat that her little boys are under, that's a deep cutting wound that's not being solved. Denmark bans the sticker juice for children. Where's that coming from, folks? As we see the CDC changing its spots and trying to be calling itself something else, I guess. I don't know. The Danish government barred children under 18 years old from taking the sticker juice, the novel inoculant, novel being patented, the novel inoculant, because of the low risk to face to the virus. Well, there is no the virus, and there is low risk. So some government finally stepped up as a total government. I don't know how they came to this conclusion, whether it was their local. I don't know how Denmark is set up for their local health officials. But someone finally said, well, there's no risk. That's part of the assessment. That's part of your assessment, even if as you're an adult insect. The individual with a medical report that gets confronted that says you're an infectious principal of a demonstrated non-fraudulent infectious agent, none of you heard, but you all succumbed to. You surrendered to that. Or did what you can to squirm around and otherwise. This thing's not going away, and that's what I want to address now. This thing's not going away. Some governments, the Denmark government explains that they're not going to they're only going to end it for the children because there's no risk. They think that there's a risk to adults, though, and it's a fraud. Wow, CDC completely reverses course. It's over. And this happens to be where the CDC changed its guidance. And you have to understand what they did here. They put the non-novelly inoculated people under and subject to the standards for the novelly inoculated, where the CDC made a bunch of new guidances. But un-novelly inoculated people now have the same guidance as novelly inoculated people, and that it's no longer recommended to screen those without symptoms. Is not new information. It's the discrimination that they've made against asymptomats. It's the stigmatism they've imposed upon the asymptomat. But they've changed their guidances now. What I want to caution us on is it's not over. They've just changed and put you subject to the novelly inoculate. They haven't ended the fraud. It's not over, folks. It's endless disease. We read the CDC ends differentiation of novelly inoculated to the new guidelines. There's no differentiation. You're all sick. This is just endemic illness. Well, that's the flu. We're back to the flu. But you see, I told you they were going to do this. I predicted this was going to happen. This is what they're doing. When did I predict that? Last week? No. This is way, way early on, folks. This is just how this works out. This is how the scam, these organized criminals work. And if you continue to be silent on your lack of trust about this and you don't start outing at least the way I'm saying it, if you have a more powerful one, I'd like to hear it. It's fraud and how. And how you get there is through the failure to offer the law instead of doing what? Subjecting it to some opinion somewhere, some experts say. But the change is happening. But what they're doing is if they've changed what our focus is on, it's not on the not novelly inoculated, it's not on the endemicness of it, it's that it's now we're going to live with this thing, this fraud. So don't miss that trick. They're telling you this is going to continue. And then I got this awareness here from another tweet. I found this, they make it political, and I agree the gentleman should make these statements. What I don't agree is that this is two steps too far down the path upon a political view of a problem that's a usurpation, an occupation of your lifestyle, and a destruction of your way of life and your governments. Democrat mega donor Steve Kirsch explains why he's jumping ship from the Democratic Party on Fox with Tucker. Quote, my friends are dying, the most dangerous sticker ever created by man. What I want to point out as we go through this is a gentleman who's very vocal. He does a lot of work. I guess he's got some money to pull this off, but they're making this a political question. He never focuses on the original step. I agree that he should identify all the wrongs, but that's the mitigation side, remember? We need to be focused on how this ball gets kicked down, this can get kicked down the road. They believe there's the virus. They don't acknowledge it's actually an invention and how it got put into society that it didn't exist before. They don't state that there no local official ever against anyone, ever alleged anyone had this. And so you start getting into the, you respond because people are dying, and then you try to argue the VARS, which was there to show the safety standards were not exceeded, and you're missing how the trick gets done. You're actually buying into this. I commend Steve Kirsch for being, calling this out. What I am completely astonished at is that this gentleman's really intelligent. I think he invented the mouse you use, I think. If I'm mistaken, I'm sorry, but this is an intelligent guy. Why do we, all of us, start three steps too late? Astonishes me. Anyway, so there's someone calling out because his friends are dying. He goes on to say something else. He has a Steve Kirsch at Substack. You can look at his stuff. What to know what's inside the sticker vials? He had somebody, I guess he's got enough money, to go pay for a mass spectrometry on a four sticker vials, two from Moderna and two from Pfizer. Now, what they found was interesting, and it kind of speaks to what I was saying. We don't know what was in it. We don't know if anything's in it. And we don't know whether or not this was a massive, we call it an experiment. But remember, those differentiated responses in certain areas. Some were killing people and harming people, and some weren't. But in this mass spectrometry analysis that he had a colleague check for, he found no PEG. He found PEG. This is a pegylated technology. But he found no phosphorus, which means he found just the lipid nanoparticle, but no payload or preservative. And so this brings up, wow, he's found evidence that these companies committed fraud on the government, first of all, unless they're going to come clean on how do you analyze it if it's not found in mass spectrometry, excuse me. There was no payload in this. But let me offer something. Let's not get too, oh, well, there's nothing in it. Yeah, that's one problem. But they found PEG. PEG can respond to people. It can harm people, seriously. So it's not out of the woods either. This technology was a chemical weapon attack, no matter how you looked at it. And so he goes, there's just a bunch of blanks. There's nothing synthetic in it. And I found that fascinating. Great. Now we're in a totally different aspect of this. We're talking waste, fraud, and abuse. We're talking about the organized criminal getting away with it. They took advantage of taking advantage. And so I appreciate Steve Kirsch at some level, but be cautious when we hear he's moving, jumping parties. Don't worry about the politics. No party worked here. None. It ran at warp speed, this fraud. All to bring on, again, the future they want, the WHO-guided conversion of your life to bring you into some control, behavior control, because your life is so toxic, completely divorcing themselves from them being the same problem or causing it. But we move now into how this fraud is being used. Despite all these, to me, facially fraudulent conditions, I predicted them coming. I've identified them going through. I've explained how everyone should prove it. This thing continues to show it's not over. Well, it's not done, folks. I understand the enthusiasm, but let's get real. It's not done. France to introduce biometric health cards. French lawmakers are approved. And I'm going to go through a bunch here real fast so we get through this. You just need to see, I want you to just hear, this is a universal attack globally. This is no joke. This is not what's on, it's gone, it's not happening no more. No, it's moving at warp speed. The French lawmakers have approved a plan to launch biometric health cards. The project was pushed as part of a financial aid package to address the cost of living crisis. Another stalking horse. They fomented and created all that. Trudeau, government to introduce national digital identification program. Sound minds. I'm going to go right through these tabs. We're not going to discuss it. If you're interested, folks, the listeners, look and see the consistency. You don't have to even go deep on this stuff. I'm just going to read the titles and show you this is a global plot to attack us. And I'm just driven by the response that international women are finding who still question, is this stoppable? Is it haltable? And it's the women asking that. Where are the men as well? Where is the voice at this point of the other half of society? Not succumbing to this, not surrendering. Trudeau to a government to introduce national identity program. This is not new information. This is after the CDC moves the web goalpost and says, oh, it's just endemic. Canada plots digital ID system after WEF partnership. This is a huge statement. The WEF is actually a partner, a foundation is a partner with a government, private-public partnership under digital identity program going across the country. Turkey is the next country to push biometric payments. Germany plans China-style color code vaccine passport upgrade. Not bad enough they're upgrading your DNA. No, they're going to do it, your digital patent. Your sticker passport upgrade with multiple tier of rights. What have I been predicting? What if it's been written on the wall? Chinese sesame. German health minister Karl Lauterbach has announced that the National Digital Contact Trace and Vaccine Passport app, Corona Worn app, CWA, will start assigning different colors to citizens based on whether they receive the sticker. The novel inoculant within the last 3 months. Enough said. They're going after your rights in a tiered fashion. What happened to your constitution? If you haven't heard about all that lately, where we see it's not ending. These organized criminals are still at work. Another story here from the Children's Health Defense Organization. WHO renews push for global pandemic treaty as World Bank creates $1 billion fund for vaccine passports. No, this is not over, folks. Wow, it's not done. Okay? Let's get real. These people are meaning to hurt you hard and bad, and it's systemic. It's inside your governments. Moving more on. Hopefully none of my listeners. A listener who I've worked with a bit, and we've had an interview with some people a while back with trying to defend themselves against employers, recently sent me a link. For those of you that maybe want more information and really concise, I haven't qualified any of it, so I'm not underwriting any of it. I just want to send you to a link for Liberty Council Action is the website, research and resources site on the sticker condition, but a lot more. Just a link for those of you worldwide that want to get a handle on this fast as these things are rolled out as warp speed against us. I don't know more than to say here's another database. Pick through, be critical thinking on how you see it. Don't buy it like you see me. I don't buy it. Even if they say it's a good thing, I don't necessarily buy that's the truth. What's behind it? Is there something behind it? Do I waste too much more time? That's how you have to learn how to qualify really quickly. Usually when you look at the language, you can tell there's something behind it if the language in front of it that you're looking at is controlled. Okay, so that's a way to get through it. The language becomes very important. We see this thing that really got my, talk about a wow. When you watch how this global thing, the IMF, the BIS, and all this other stuff is involved all through this stuff to push this and the WHO meeting up with the World Bank. I told you, go to World Bank and look for their toolkits if they make it easy to find. Every aspect of how to destroy your country is a toolkit has been made up in the World Bank. But we see this, wow, to me, this was a wow story because underneath the breath of all that's going on are these big investment companies, the institutional clients. Coinbase shares soar 10% in a boost from meme traders' BlackRock crypto deal. BlackRock. This is a huge statement. The shares of Coinbase soared Thursday as the crypto. I don't know if they're going to jump in and jump out. My point is that BlackRock's involved with when you see that they're underwriting a lot of what we're watching through this system, through the IMF, the world shaker that they are in the financial sector of fraud as well, and how they come about and who they are tied into. This is an immense statement that just by tapping into it, they boost Coinbase shares, another corporation. The shares soared Thursday after the crypto exchange announced a partnership with BlackRock that will allow its institutional clients to buy Bitcoin. Stop there. You can read more. If you listen to me in the past, you hear this is all integrated ultimately because I told you for all the Wild West that it's been, they're going to regulate all this stuff. And BlackRock getting involved in the exchange side is a red flag of where that organization realizes or knew or is privy. It's going into something that they can underwrite and allow to their clients, but it's going to be controlled in the future. A Forsage crypto executive charged with running $300 million Ponzi scheme. I bring this up because this is the kind of stuff that goes on. I don't know if these are setups that require the regulation, that require all these digital assets to be underneath the purview of what we think is government regulation, but I'm suggesting to you, we already have the news, it's going international. It's gone international. It's already been done. All the denials that were going on in the financial sector of the world, the world's financial sector, it was the plan. It's the end result. It's the outcome they want. So these are Ponzi schemes. I don't even know if that's what it is or what it isn't. This is things that they get through out there that cause the trouble. But when their people cause the trouble for other people, then the government has to step in, protect those people, when in fact the whole thing's a plan and a setup for a takedown ultimately. BlackRock underwriting, this is just going to bring that regulation right into and onto, not the company, it'll be brought onto those that work within the what they think is the financial sector and or profit-taking, which is not going to be anything more than an identified account that you can be tracked and traced, and they're going to need, and they're going to use that with all these new IRS agents coming on. But before we get to that, we're going to see these technical digital assets. I told you they were coming to the government, and here private parties and private corporations, as they work out how this will be. Again, this is all about loyalty to your government and whether you comply in behavior and your toxic whether or not you control your toxic behavior and how you're going to look like you're a good loyal patriot. Starbucks will unveil its Web3 initiative, which includes a coffee themed NFT, non fungible token, tokenize everything. Everything has an ID. Everything. The number of the hairs on your head or something, I heard. Hey, and next month's Investor Day event, the company earlier said that it announced its plans to enter the W3 space, noting its NFTs would just serve as digital collectibles, but would provide their owners with access to exclusive content and perks. Well, that's nothing than an adjusted. They're calling an NFT your Safeway loyalty card. Look at how they transition everybody. These NFTs are all going to be eventually controlled if they're not already kind of on tap. There was a question that NFTs may not be, but if the government, the corporations come in and do it like this, I suspect that that's going to be adjusted really quickly as we see BIS Innovation Hub work on central bank digital currency. I wanted to point out the innovation, the word term innovation. This is, again, central to what they do. Innovation zones, remember, it's all economic. The BIS is directly connected. They spoke out about this here recently, one of their high mucky mucks. The interest of CBDC has grown in response to changes in payments, finance, and technology. That's quite a grouping of subject matters in your life, as well as the disruption caused by the fraud, the medical fraud. The 2021, you see, it's all based around this. That's what the IMF Lagarde was saying. This is going to be the economy. And then you now see it's going to be payments, finance, and technology that they're wrapping up. The technology happens to be your Internet of Battlefield of Things and that little phone of yours as well, on top of it all, and these central databases that are not decentralized. The 2021 BIS survey of central banks found 86 are actively researching the potential of CBD, seeds, at 60% were experimenting on the technology, 14% were deploying projects. Fine, this is old technology. It's saying that there's investment to be made, and they are an innovation zone and hub for doing this on something that we know is a global imposition. The World Bank is just getting ready to give a non-governmental organization, not a government, these organized criminals, $1 billion to move this forward. And you hear all the companies, the governments across the world already lining up for it. As we find out, Norgard from Technocracy News, the UN's digital world brain seeks to track everything and everyone. Okay, so I've been talking about this myself, writing on the wall that the Technocracy Now here, they are warned to 12 years now. Right? This is long-term stuff. This is not even new. Now the United Nations is gunning for total control of the Internet, seeking to morph it into a digital brain that can control everything and everyone on the Earth. The aim is to total social control and behavioral modification to suit the sustainable development, aka technocracy, as written by the editor. And there you can read this. This is on the tap. This is fulfilling what the BIS is talking about, that they say it's experimental. It's not. This is all in the pipeline. If you want to see now the third party, remember, your USDCs, your digital currencies are going to be to your local bank, your local Fed here for the United States, and as a trust underneath the private control. If we want to see a little bit of how that works out, we see that Apple credit card provided through Goldman Sachs has created a living hell, according to consumer complaints. If you want to see the future, but now adjusted by the WHO, controlled by through funding that's underwritten by the governments. All these so-called credit cards are going to be socially digital currencies and probably potentially non-fungible tokens controlled by third parties. Australia's central bank working with BIS to launch digital currency system. We're going to go through these real quick. Congress is supersizing. Now here, okay, so that was Australia moving into the digital currency, working with it. That's already in league, folks. This has already been going on. They're just trying to figure out how it all works out for us on a global scale with the master computers working, the digital Hades that it's going to be. And then we see this after that. You see all this digital currency. You want to know how they're going to be able to do this. So, Congress is supersizing the IRS. Here's why the bad news for everyday Americans. I'm not going to go through this too much. This is astonishing to watch. As everyone wondered, well, how would they do this? And I told you, they just regulate something, then they'd bring more bureaucracy. The United States Congress is ahead of the game on all this. Americans love their fast food supersizes, but supersizing the Internal Revenue Service? Probably not so popular. That's evidently of little concern to a majority of Congress. Lawmakers are poised to pass and did pass a large tax and spending bill, which Biden is eager to sign, and I think he did, that would increase IRS funding by an astounding $80 billion. The legislation provides 14 times as much funding for enforcement as the fishing expedition audits, as in fishing expedition audits. We heard some other news coming up here. I don't know if I can get to it, but pretty close. Than it does for taxpayer services, such as answering the phone, according to Ben Susser, an American tax reform. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on under our nose while they focus on everything else. This is really another type of existential threat. I don't know why they need 87,000 agents, but you start to see why they start needing this stuff and who they're going to actually be after. Executive Order 14067, ensuring responsible development of digital assets. This is what comes in, and this is what starts to become what's going on. It starts to focus on what I've been telling you, what's coming down in the regulation enforcement. This is supposed to be administrative. And this is all now turned into crime. I don't know how they got there, but we are crickets to this, I suppose. And it's the executive order. You can get printed out by this website. I won't read it through. There's a lot to analyze. I don't have the time to go through it. Just understand there is laws and rules and policies and orders that are in place that that show us what's going to happen and come into the future already in action. Digital assets, it's like, what is that? Most people don't even understand what that is, let alone played around with some Bitcoin. No, this becomes your future life on a blockchain that's unbreakable and accessible digitally. You don't live but through your digital identity. Now we see 87,000 IRS agents join union with which gives PACs funds to Democrats. So the union that is now going to be the employment union for the IRS agents is tied into another union control that gives money to politics. It happens to be a political focused condition where this, again, to control how your elections will be controlled, it's done by the PAC money. It's done by the investment on who they promote and who has the money to be promoted. CBC Executive Order Investment Watch, and he's an explanation about these, about how this is coming down. They're calling now Biden bucks is the most treasonous act in history. Well, you're going to have to parse through that, but it's happening. Okay, it may be treasonous, but it's happening. And they go through this analysis to talk about, again, the CBDC. It's already in play. How come it's already in play and you hear that, the BIS is saying it's experimental? Because it's already been a plan and put in force. U.S. tax collectors prepare new agents to use deadly force. I'm just reading the headlines, folks. You're going to have to read more deeply of the serious existential threat this is becoming. It's already in play. Why are they going to use deadly force? Why are they training? And yet, you have a voice, a little bit of one. IRS faces online uproar over special agent posting requiring ability to use deadly force, if necessary. Why don't we get that defined? Why is that necessary to on a fishing expedition? How come they haven't needed it so far? I mean, we've heard some of it in past, like the Browns and stuff, where they do siege. How often does that happen? I can't even go through all the thoughts in my brain about this thing, and they're going through the tax man, as I told you they would. And this comes through regulation, and they're going through digital. How else does 87,000 people become efficient? They're not going to go, they can't go over 300 million people. No, they go after the most vulnerable. And then they do it on the most technological. IRS training included armed agents carrying out a simulated assault on suburban home. Why? U.S. Census Bureau demanding gun holster companies hand over customer info. Why? We talked a little about that last week. There's another way to get at who has the guns. But why on a tax matter? Ed Brown, Dan Van Meter saying in RLM chat, Ed Brown's still the POW in his condition and interaction with all this. Treasury sanctions against Tornado Cash's move against privacy and potential First Amendment violation. Now we're back to our free speech. And this is an interesting story. How might you be able to combat what they're setting up as a measures to attack you? 87,000 agents can use deadly force against you on what was supposed to be an administrative condition where you haven't paid taxes. What if you set up and you weren't taxable? What if you've set yourself up? Well, I caution you on how you set up your corporate existence if you're going under like a PMA or something. Go read close enough to find out what status is exempt from tax. And start to make yourself look like that is one suggestion I have for you. But going that way, Amish farmer faces 25K fine, jail time, and loses his sustainable farm for processing his own meat. I've said they will come after you, and they will do the regulation if you don't think that the company that's going after someone who is a private partnership, a private contract, can be attacked. This is how they do it. These are the notices that they happen to you. It's going to be a tougher world where the IRS comes after you for everything you did that can be identified as a value that's taxable. Because your status is all wrong. And if we thought that the United States was looking at the right focus to solve problems, well, apparently it has all those sanctions and all those military going against Russia have not cut at all the grain exports from Russia, and that won't lead to a major problems in Europe. I ask you, why is your government setting you up that you do have problems, and we are seeing an inflation, and we have scarcity going on, and they have more bureaucracy coming after us, if their view is correct? It's because we're being crickets, and I'm asking us to not do that. Hope something I said today gives you some inspiration to get active, not be a cricket, do what you can, learn more about what you need to do, focus on the black and white, and protect yourself as we move into these interesting times. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.